This is the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS, the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Brought to you by Portland Radio Project 99.1 FM, your nonprofit community radio station, online at prp.fm. And brought to you by KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM and KBOO.fm. Also brought to you by X-Ray KXRY 107.1 FM and 91.1 FM, online at xray.fm. This is the Student Hour.
Hello, listeners. My name is Mackenzie Kerman from AM 1450 KBPS. Today, I'll be here with
Talia McKelvey.
And I'm going to be talking about why you like KBPS so much. Walk me through how you decided to join KBPS.
I decided to join KBPS because Kenzie joined it, and I wanted to be in the same major as her.
What would you like to do in KBPS? Like, what's your favorite thing to do in it?
My favorite thing to do in KBPS is go on air in the studio.
Okay. What do you think that your greatest strength in this class? Like, what do you think it would help you with in the future? And yeah.
My greatest strength in this class is probably going on air. And I think it would help me build communication skills and being able to talk in large groups of people when I'm in front of a lot of people. It'll make it easier for me to talk.
What do you consider to be your weaknesses in this class?
My weaknesses is getting stuff done on time.
Tell me about a time that you've failed in this class and your struggles.
I don't fail in this class. My struggles is getting stuff in on time.
How do you stay organized in this class?
Canvas helps me stay organized. We have a planner in our ELA support class, and I have to write down all my assignments for all my classes in that class. So having that planner helps me stay organized.
Okay. What are you passionate about in this class, and what motivates you?
I'm passionate about going on air, and what motivates me is having good grades, being able to get a good grade in this class. And I also what motivates me is my friends and people around me to push me to be successful.
Okay. What do you think makes this class unique to you?
What makes this class unique is I haven't seen it in any other school or high school in the PPS, so I feel like that's what makes it different from all the other classes.
If you could tell anyone about KBPS and how much you like it, what would you tell people about? And try to make people join it and do it.
I would tell people that it's very useful to build your communication skills, and I would tell people that it's easier and funner than any other regular high school class.
Okay. Would you consider this a future job for you?
No.
Okay. Thank you for letting me interview you.
Of course.
Again, my name is Mackenzie Kremen.
Totally.
From AM 1450 KBPS, thanks for listening for the Student Hour on KBPS, PRP, and KBOO.
This is Josh, and today we're going to be talking about, we're back to the American muscle cars. Last time we talked about the Hellcat and the Mustang, so now we're back to my least favorite muscle car. Oh yeah, brother, y'all know what it is. It's the Corvette.
Corvette isn't a muscle car.
Yeah, I know, bro. Yeah, that's what I'd be saying, bro. Everyone says it's a muscle car, bro.
Yeah, they're dumb.
It's more like a supercar, kind of. That's what I'm
putting. It's kind of in the middle.
Yeah, it's in the
Camaro. It's like a Camaro. A Camaro is like the muscle car. Sorry.
Yeah, I was thinking.
It was a little confusing, but the Camaro is
like a Dodge Viper, but Dodge Viper is not a muscle car.
Yeah, exactly. It's like every brand has a better car. It's like Ford's Ford GT.
Facts.
That thing is not a muscle car.
It's
closer to a supercar than... So is the Viper. The Corvette's kind of like in the middle.
Yeah, it's like the middle.
It's like a poor man's supercar.
That's facts. That's what it is. Because it's not without... It's not fast compared to supercars.
Well, nowadays, yeah, it is. But back in, the 90s, it's a very...
How is how much horses are they pushing?
I don't know. I'd have to look.
How much is the Z06 pushing?
They're super expensive, though.
The Z06 are... I bet they're fat.
Z06 is like... The fucking beard.
Oh, 600, bro, but think about it. 600, that's like less than a Hellcat. Less power than a Hellcat.
Are you serious?
Yeah, 670.
Which is the way, though. Wait, 0 to 60 now?
Oh, no, I think 06 would definitely beat a Hellcat. It's way light. It's a weight light.
Hellcats are just super heavy because they're weighing.
But honestly, bro, what do you think of, like, how fast, bro? So if, like, for example, like Ford put like 6.2-liter supercharged Hemi's like there for and like their Mustangs and stuff, bro. You think the car would be unstoppable or what?
Probably.
Yeah, it would be so bogus, bro.
You gotta put like an LS in there.
LS, yeah, LS. That'd be nice.
Yeah, put like a Hemi in a Honda.
Oh, bro, that rest is gonna be spinning, right?
I mean, put a Hemi in like an NSX, bro. Like, come on, that would be based. Because it wouldn't be spinning because it's in the back.
Actually, you try to do that? You try to put my Hemi in your car or what?
I don't have an NSX.
No, it's inside your Civic.
It wouldn't fit.
Why not? We can make space.
I after this little interview, I can show you someone who LS swapped the Civic.
Actually?
Yeah, someone did it. The engine doesn't even fit in the car.
Bro, have you seen on Facebook Marketplace the LS swapped BRZ?
Yeah, I have like six of those.
Actually?
I'm playing, bro. Oh, yeah. That's one swap I'd really like to do, but I'm just
poor. One day, we'll get it one day.
Yeah.
Yo, one day, bro. One day I'm trying to, what's it called? Hemi swap. What's it called? A Honda Accord.
Why would you ever want to do that?
So it can be fast?
Make the Hell Accord?
Nah, the Scat Accord, bro.
Scat Accord.
I don't like Hellcats. I like these Scat Packs with 392s.
Do you like slow cars?
No, I like fast cars. I like cars that go vroom, vroom.
Bruh. What's your opinion on Luis's WRX?
I hate it. I hate Luis's car. No, I love Luis. I love Luis's car. It's pretty fun to drive too. The manual, the stick. It's fun to play with.
I think stick.
Yes.
I love an automatic.
Mm-hmm. So it's a stick.
It's 5-speed or 6?
5. It's hella fun, bro.
Yeah, Josh. What's your opinion on the Integra?
Oh boy, don't even get me started with that. Which one? Yours?
Yeah.
Or I'll take you.
Mine.
Honest to God, I don't even know what's going on with the car, bro. Where's it at, bro?
Yeah, it's in my wallet.
Bro, you need to bring it, bro.
I'm thinking about it. If my brakes start to work and this weekend I'm replacing step, hopefully if they work, the car will be here on Monday, but I highly doubt it. I think the ABS module out.
All right. So wait, Monday, you going to get insurance and stuff on it?
It already has insurance on it right now.
All right. So you have insurance on it. So what's stopping you from bringing the car to school, Koi?
The brakes don't work.
Bro, let me fix it for you, bro. Don't be fake.
You're not going to fix it, bro. I don't even know what's wrong with it, bro. I'm messing with
you. Bro, I just realized, bro, how the heck do we get from talking about Z01s to talking about your El Tegi, bro? Or Camaros, Corvettes.
El Tegi go crazy, bro. The El Tegi is faster than my Corvette.
Actually?
I don't know, bro. Probably not.
Hey, speaking of the Corvette, are you ready to bring it to school or...
Yeah. Keep it.
Is it yours?
Yeah.
Are you lying?
Which one, the Corvette or the...
The Vet.
That's my grandma's, but I drive it. I'm never going to bring that thing to school, though.
Why not?
Because she doesn't want me to drive very far. Also, like, it hasn't really been driven since, like, 1999.
Well, wait, so where'd she even get it from? She just has it?
Yeah.
How many cars does she have?
I don't know, like 10.
Bro, I need to see this garage, bro.
My grandma and my dad are both car collectors. Both my grandmas and my dad are car collectors.
Where does she even keep them? Inside the garage?
Yeah.
Well, she has that much space.
I mean, not in her. She has like a warehouse of cars, bro. She has, like she has a Chrysler 300. She got the, a Super Forester she drives every day. She had my Civic. That's how I got my Civic actually. But
hello, you got for like $800?
Yeah. And then she has a Corvette. She has a Lamborghini. I wish she did, bro. I'd be bad.
Bro, let me visit her garage, bro.
Nah, bro. Yeah, I'll let you visit the other grandma's garage because she keeps all of her cars outside. So. Like she's the one with the Mini Cooper, like my other
the
Mini Cooper,
the British cars.
Yeah, the Range Rover. She has the
Range Rover is New York,
bruh. That's England, bruh. Yeah, she has the
American Mustang.
She has an Altima.
Oh gosh,
Anyway, my other grandma got a, she has an Altima. She's the only one who ain't bad at driving. She got a giant, Dodge Ram Cummins. It's bigger than his. It's like twice the size of it.
Rubbish. I call rubbish.
She also got the, she has a C3 Corvette, but I mean, it's old. She's an El
Camino. How much for it right now?
What?
For the Corvette?
I don't know. Ask her.
Can you ask her right now? No, I'm good. But don't be fake.
Bro, I can't be asking that.
Okay.
My dad has a couple cars too.
Josh?
Yeah.
Wait, what Josh got?
He got a Trackhawk.
Actually?
Yeah, he has a Trackhawk.
Call him right now, bro. Okay. Let's see if Josh really has a Trackhawk. Should I keep on recording or no? Please pick up, Josh. Please pick up.
Hold on. I got to text my mom really quick. You pause it.
All right. All right, so we're calling Josh right now. Please pick up.
What's up?
Hello.
We're here with Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Hey. So you want to talk a little bit about your Trackhawk?
What do you want to talk about?
How fast it is?
Obviously, it's pretty fast.
Yeah.
Is it a 6.2 liter supercharged Hemi?
Yes.
Man, says you said that's dream car Trackhawk.
Yeah. We gotta get you on the interview. You gotta talk about your Buick.
Well, actually?
Yeah, he has a, 2022. He has a 2023 Buick Encore.
Yeah,
Encore. Yeah. It has a turbo in it.
Yeah.
Oops. Yeah, 3-banger.
Yep.
All the chicks want him, bro.
Yeah. I'm mad, bro.
Yeah. His girlfriend has to tell him to not drive it sometimes because how many bitches he gets in it.
I don't blame her, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, it's better than the Trackhawk.
I'm probably. This is Josh from KBPS. Thank you for listening. See you guys next week.
TriMet. Public transportation that everyone uses. It helps many people get to where they need to be. But there are risks involved. According to TriMet.org, there is a violent crime on TriMet almost every day. As a Benson student, my friends and I take TriMet often. Here are some of our tips on how to stay safe on TriMet.
Be aware of what's around you. If someone doesn't look okay, try to move away discreetly. Go towards the front of the bus or train. You can also use the emergency intercom to talk to the MAX driver. Travel in a group. Being with someone else makes travel much safer. Friends can help keep each other safe. Stay alert and don't get distracted. Dozing off on your phone can cause you to miss your stop, but more dangerously, it can open the door to a disaster. Always be aware of your surroundings. Bad situations don't usually start with a bang. They creep up on you. It's important to see the smoke before the fire. Self-defense. Being able to fend off an attacker is key. Mace is a common defense tool that is both small and easy to conceal.
Thanks for doing your part to stay aware and help keep TriMet safe. Stay safe out there and take your love to the max.
Life is amazing, then it sucks, then it's amazing again. Life is amazing, then it sucks, then it's amazing. Let me tell you about it right here. This one's dedicated to everybody out there who's just trying to, you know, get by day by day. It's rough out there. Worldwide, they say the sky is the limit. But there's footsteps on the moon, and you could fall in love in January, but you could break up by June. People say I have time in a minute, but the minutes all pass too soon. So I thank God for every second that I get to dance with you. Cause life is amazing, then it sucks, then it's amazing again. Life is amazing, then it sucks, then it's amazing again. Everybody blows up at a person in your life that you know you love, yeah. You say something that you shouldn't have, and realize later you're a jerk. Forward, then you open up your eyes and apologize and party with them till the sun rises. Throw your hands in the skies and realize everything is gonna be alright. Cause life is amazing, then it sucks, then it's amazing.
amazing, then it sucks, then it's amazing again. So don't you worry what tomorrow brings. Well, yesterday, my friend, life is amazing, then it sucks, then it's amazing again. And everybody say, oh, 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 na, 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 na. And everybody say, oh, 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 na, 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 na. And everybody say, oh, 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 na, 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 na. And everybody say, oh, 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 na, 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 na. 'Cause life is amazing, then it sucks, then it's amazing again. Life is amazing, then it sucks, then it's amazing again. So don't you worry what tomorrow brings, or yesterday, my friend. Life is amazing, then it sucks, then it's amazing again. Life is amazing, then it sucks, then it's amazing again.
Good day, listeners, and thank you for listening to the Student Hour. My name is Zip, and I'll be continuing my semi-weekly segment where I review a song from an artist's album that was released recently. This week, I'll be doing the song Rush by Troy Sivan. It was released on July 13th and produced by Stian Fuego, Novador, and Zone. Let's take a listen. Big communication, tell me what you want. Chance to your vibration, let your body talk to me, baby. Love if you wanna show me why you've been scheming up. If you wanna trust the simulation, don't you let it break. Every stimulation, promise I can take what you wanna get. Boy, you better show me. Racing my body, racing.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more info, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart, KBOO Community Radio. Support KBOO online at kbu.fm and X-Ray. Support X-Ray online at x-ray.fm. Thank you for listening.
Student Hour listeners, this is Jacob Patterson, KBPS Radio Broadcasting Instructor at Benson High School. Want to share with you a special segment produced by our sophomores. We rarely get to hear our sophomores on the air, so this is a special treat for them. And they've just completed a special project called Pin Drop, where they write a story in their English class and then bring it to radio class and record it and add sound effects to it and background sounds to really make their stories come to life through the power of sound and Theater of the Mind. So let's enjoy listening to some of our sophomores in KBPS and their Pin Drop project.
As I walk through the front doors of the Get Down, I immediately hear the sounds of screeching guitars, wailing voices, and the intense sounds of grunge rock. While I'm walking down the stairs, my friend comes up behind me and pats me on the back. A sense of fear pulses through me because I had no idea they were right behind me. As I reach the basement, the smell of leftover pizza overwhelms me, and a sense of happiness, but yet false hopes, because I know a piping hot pizza is not what awaits me. Instead, I am greeted by the radiant rainbow of lights and neon. I hear the first words of All Apologies by Nirvana. As a singer sits down with their guitar and starts singing the sad heartbreak of Kurt Cobain's masterpiece, I start to sway with the beat and the rhythm of the guitar. As the song ends, I try to find my friend who I am here to support. I talk to them for about 15 minutes about random odds and ends about my life. Then I go back and listen to the Smashing Pumpkins' Smashing Diddy of 1979. The next song starts and the last fades out into the silent abyss. And the next song, Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden, starts. My friend introduces me to her good friend, and it turns out we're both into making music. We talk about creating the soulful, soothing methods of melody making for a good hour or so. The Black Hole Sun has long set as the next tune comes on. Black Hole Sun has set as the next tune comes on, and the clean sounds of the electric guitar starts playing in the hopeful chords and the powerful chords. A Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana rings in the ears of the people of the in the radius of the stage. As the song descends upon its final feelings and last words, I go and talk to my friend who I am here to congratulate with gusto. On my way out, I notice a wedding reception going on, while bachelors tell me unless my choosing of my outfit is for the concert. As I get into my car and go, I realize that has been my first concert in 3 years. Hands down, a memory that will last a lifetime.
The story of my niece. An early morning in the fall, my sister woke me up all happy at 7 a.m. saying I had another niece on the way. I'm still half asleep, so I'm kind of confused because I know my niece is supposed to be due in November, but was due in October. So I got happy. I called my sister. She said everything was good. She'll call me back because they have to wear blood exams and just test on the baby, make sure she's all healthy. An hour later, my sister calls me back saying everything went good. And once we get out from the hospital, you guys can come over and come see her. 4 days later, we all went to my sister's house and went to go see the baby. We had to be very gentle because she was still a couple pounds and was still just a baby, a newborn. I held her. She was very light, pushing 8 pounds. After we left the house, a couple days later, everywhere I went back, and she was already getting bigger. She was already holding her home bottle and just doing, like, stuff already. a couple weeks after that, my niece came over to my house and we had to babysit her because my sister had to go do something and her dad too. And she slept in my room. I was kind of scared for her to sleep with me though because I move around a lot in my sleep and I didn't want her to sleep with me because I didn't want her to fall off the bed or anything. So I put her on the other side of the bed so she wouldn't fall. But she started crying at 5 a.m. in the morning. So I put her on my chest and gave her a bottle and turned on Bluey. Bluey is one of her favorite shows. It calms her down, put her to sleep, but in the afternoon, it makes her energy go up and get happy. Every time I see my niece smile, I get happy. That brightens my mood so much. She's such a good person. I wouldn't replace my niece with anything or for anybody.
10 hours until it happened. I was left restless, counting down the hours until I was there. My words and feelings were repeated over and over again as I looked forward to 10 hours. The minutes and hours flew by as I daydreamed of myself in that room. 30 minutes. My stomach, instead of being filled with dinner, was filled with the fear and excitement of that car ride where I wanted to be. The towering glass wall of the building loomed over me as cars' doors echoed off. We walked up to the building under the shadowed sky. Wind rushed by as I opened the door, my heart thumping in my chest. The exterior of the building stood over me more than the in of it did. The smell of sweat and rubber wafted through the air as my ears were filled with the repeating thump of my heart bouncing off the long rows of metal lockers that lined the halls. The path I walked was filled with the sound of a constant thud of hollow objects bouncing off the faces of an echoing closed enclosure. I entered the room as an awkward ghost, making myself hidden as the shadow of the people around me. The sharp sound of a whistle cut through the awkwardness as the many repetitions of footsteps started to gather around the source. His words were loud and rang with purpose, but they stomped towards one ear and snuck out the other. We were instructed to direct our eyes towards our left hand in the air and strike down with our right. Then we were strung out between the ends of the bleachers, left in the dark for what would happen to us next. I, being lost, was placed at the head to lead the way. It was like I had been given a map of where to go, but everything that made it up was manipulated to line me down the wrong path. My head was left stargazing instead of the actuality in his words of commandment. The ball threateningly casted a dark shadow over my head as I was snapped back to reality. My overly positive self had imagined that it would have been like something you would see on the TV back then. Instead of slamming it forward towards the ground, it was awkwardly twisted backwards up towards the ceiling. The air felt like it was filled with laughter and the dark screen of smiling faces casted in my head. Or at the very least, my friend's voice did. If you hadn't already seen his burning bright hair, you would hear the loud crackling of the fire his tongue snapped. His harshness with a mix of actual support made me strive to be a better player. I'm the type of person who always wants to be better than someone, so he made me want to improve to show him wrong. Later that year, though, my friend set the ball in the air, and instead of the shadow of the ball looming over me, I shouted over the ball as I swung it down into the court.
Where a new beginning began with a whack. It was a cold, chilly morning, and it was just the first year of the pandemic. The rain poured down, the sun only shining a few times, making itself seen. Everyone is very wary of each other, isolating themselves from people. That includes me, as I have been isolating myself, shutting out the light that once shined through. Just then, I brought up a simple question to my doctor. Is it possible for me to have a paper to get a pet? I said. I was then given a paper I asked for at the end of my visit. It was for a pet, for a fluffy animal to join my side. I've only ever had some experience with pets that were mostly birds. Never have I ever had a cat or a dog. I was excited and joyful finally to have a pet that I can walk around with me. It was then, a few weeks later, it was a chilly and cold, gloomy day. It was unexpected that we even landed in the adoption center at the time. We even made an appointment for another dog at the time. It was Chihuahua. Although, she seemed very timid and didn't want to open us to us, almost as if she rejected us at the very moment. The lady soon came to pick up the dog and took her away. Once we were about to leave, my dad spoke up. You guys made me drive all the way over here. I'm not leaving this place until you guys choose a dog, you know. He said, wanting us to keep seeing and looking to see if there was any other dogs available for adoption. Although we were losing hope on finding a dog that day because the lady already said most of them had appointments, we found one. Her name was Thelma. She had no appointments at all, so we took the chance to see her. The lady soon walked in with her. We were just scared to see if she was going to reject us just like the last dog, the fear almost overwhelming. But just then, Thelma entered the room. She went inside the the room slowly. Soon enough, putting her hair all over our clothes, making us look like we just got attacked by a bunch of puppies. Wow, she's never been this excited, the worker chuckled, and asked us if we wanted to take her for a walk. We said yes. She handed us a cheese stick, telling us how much Thelma loves cheese, and how we should feed her while we took her for a walk. She pulled a leash as she walked around us excitedly, wagging her tail, barking around, going in circles. I was happy to see her so happy and joyful. Although it seemed cliche, I knew she was meant for our family since that very moment. She was hyper, and it still is, and is joyful and overall a happy dog. As my parents signed the paper, my sister helped them. As I was petting her, fluffing up her short hair, although it didn't have much change due to her short hair, the wet pavement was gone, the sun shining brightly at her, as she was glowing with her dirty blonde short hair. As she walked to the car, she did so with my family and me. My dad wanted to see if she could hop into the car, and as we had many doubts, she proved us wrong. As she jumped into the truck, she wagged her tail and barked some more. I smiled so much that day I can't even remember how much I smiled. All I remember is that the sky cleared up, the rain was gone, the sun peeks out once again, feeling the cold, fresh air on her face, almost as a new fresh start in life as well as in mine.
The sun shined brightly from the sky, reflecting off the blue, orange, and yellow of the building. There was a menu posted in front of a plexiglass wall in front of the building. COVID-19 was still an issue. A cashier was positioned behind the wall. Hi, welcome to 50 Licks. What ice cream would you like to order? I would like to order a chocolate coconut caramel and a cup, please, I said. Okay, that'll be $4.99. Your order number is 15, exclaimed the cashier. I walked over to a bench next to a towering tree. The rehearsal went well. Hopefully the performance goes well too, said Nico as he sat down on the bench. About an hour ago, I had sat down in an uncomfortable wooden chair in the seating of a crowded auditorium. Groups cycled through the stage, people from the balcony checking lighting and timing, making sure everything ran smoothly. The time ticked on and on, anticipation building for our performance. Soon, a head popped out of the adjacent door, calling us backstage. The blinding lights shined from the ceiling, illuminating the wooden stage. Behind us, percussion started, and we started playing an arrangement of Bellarmine, with me on clarinet. The instruments blended together, sound boosted by the acoustics of the auditorium. That performance went shockingly well, said Nico, back at the bench. I'm surprised we were able to end up with a coherent piece, said Faye, another member of the performance, as he walked over to the bench. It sounded a lot better in the auditorium than in the band room. Order 15, the cashier suddenly exclaimed. I strolled over to the counter to collect my ice cream, white and purple with a small colored spoon sticking out of it. I started to eat on the walk back. Is everyone bringing their instruments home to practice? Asked Faye, who had a saxophone case resting right next to her backpack. I didn't. I couldn't carry my trombone all the way here. That thing is bigger than my backpack, said Nico. We have two more days to practice after a day anyway, so we should be fine. The performance is that soon? And that was on Friday, exclaimed Leora, who played flute for the performance. Friday is in 3 days, said Zune, who played percussion. I just brought my clarinet because I didn't have time to run back to the music building and put it back, I added. We are probably walking back now. It's already 4:30, commented Leora. I had barely noticed the time go by in the conversation. Conversation buzzed around us as we walked back, past the theater with a usually glowing sign, darkened by the afternoon sun. A walk signal counted down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The time until cars were allowed to zoom on by, rushing to their destination. Trees rustled with excitement, and leaves crunched with the nervousness of the day soon to arrive.
I looked at the clock reading 3:14, one more minute until school was finally over. I rushed to grab my stuff and escape, hurriedly making it to the sidewalk. Battered shoes falling into a calm rhythm, I took a deep breath and looked up at the cloudless sky. Not paying attention to my surroundings, my foot met air as I reached the curb. Quickly catching myself, I realized I was close to his house. Pace quickening, my eyes became those of an eagle. Tail peeking out of the tattered maroon cat house, his mostly closed eyes met mine. Ears perking up immediately, he stood up, stretched with a mule, and sauntered towards me. Knees popping, I lowered myself to the ground. My toes lifted as my backpack attempted to knock me over, so I settled with taking it off before anything. Finally at his height, I reached towards his face. He swerved and bumped into my knee, like a gentle battering ram, causing me to teeter yet again. "Hi, Cat-Cat. How are you today?" I asked with a grin. Bumping his head into my hand, he started rumbling like an engine. "Aw, that's good to hear. I missed you. I have to get home now, okay?" I stood up and he looked at me, confused as to why his petting stopped. "Fine, I'll stay 5 more minutes. Each day when I finally left, I looked back as long as my neck allowed, watching as he sat, patiently waiting for me to return. This became our routine. Lots of pets, more pets, attempts to leave, and finally leaving. I would stop by when I went on walks in the neighborhood, even introducing him to my mom and best friend. He would come out of his cat house every time he saw me, no matter how dreary the weather was. It never registered for me, but one day would be the last time I ever heard his purr, felt his frail frame, the last day of mine that would be improved by that tiny interaction. I found out a while after 6th grade ended that Cat-Cat, also known as Willard, had died of old age. I was shattered. Guilt slowly crawled into my veins as I realized I hadn't visited him in what felt like forever. It never felt real, which led me to move on quickly. At least, I thought I had moved on, but sometimes we never really do. It's hard to understand what we don't talk about. Nobody wants to live with regrets, but each moment in life is fleeting.
I woke up to the sound of the wind whispering to the branches. I went straight to the kitchen to get my breakfast. I grabbed Cinnamon Toast Crunch from the cabinet and poured it into a bowl. As the cereal hit the bowl, it made a sweet tune, like rain hitting a metal roof. I took my spoon, fresh from the dishwasher, and it was warm to the touch. I began walking from the kitchen to our living room, but as I walked, the wooden floorboards squeaked enough to wake a bear from hibernation. While I was eating and watching the news, I was getting some nostalgia, as eating cereal on an early Saturday morning has always been a childhood favorite for me and my brother. After I finished my breakfast, I walked back to my room. I began to turn my Xbox on and load up some games. I began playing video games for the past couple of hours till I got a phone call from my stepmom. My stepmom has always been a role model for me since I was little. I can't remember a time I didn't know her. My stepmom is a short, dark-haired woman and works for the city of Portland. When my stepmom called, I was confused because she works on the second floor of our garage and will usually come inside if there's something wrong. But she said she saw someone looking through our cars in the alleyway and opening all the doors. I thought she was joking at first, but this has happened to us before. So I got up and put some shoes on and went to our backyard, and when I was out there, I could hear the crunching of our gravel driveway and the opening of car doors and the sniffling of a nose. I could also kind of see a silhouette of a person through the gaps of our old fence. I then went to our garage where my stepmom works, and then we both went outside to the backyard to see what was going on. As we walked closer to our fence gate, we could hear the rustling of papers and the glove boxes opening and closing in our cars. So we both rushed to the gate before they took anything out of our cars. When we opened the gate, we saw a homeless woman with a stroller and some garbage stuff inside of it, and she tied down some bottles and a bag to the side of it. But then she started to push her stroller away and started to speedily walk away. We began following her down the alleyway, and my stepmom started to yell at her, and the homeless lady started to walk faster down the alleyway. Then she started to walk across the street, but with all the commotion, our neighbors came out with their big dogs and tried to figure out what was happening. But while they were talking, the homeless lady just disappeared, and we never saw her ever again.
I love writing. When I want to and what I want to. Assigned writing has been the bane of my existence since I first heard of the concept as a tiny preschooler. I mean, how could you just write what you think at the moment? They don't have any cohesion or words or anything. I always had a filter that quickly squeezed any ideas I might have into an incomprehensible mess of feelings and frustration. Just a sentence or two on the page while the person next to me had a long paragraph. The feeling came right back in my 3rd grade classroom, when people had already wrote out their slice of life drafts and were sitting at the white square finished table, flipping pages of books I wanted to read, while I was still sitting at the plastic wood grain circular table with the kids who don't try. tip-tapping my pencil on the blank-lined paper notebook. Well, blank except for the title. Car crash. My brown hair drooped down in front of my face, covering tired brown eyes and a blank face. That sounds really sad, right? I wasn't sad. I was asking why. Why does this interesting story not work? Am I really that stupid that I can't write about my life at all? Why am I stuck sitting here instead of turning in a nice paragraph? Why can't I just... Hey, are you all right? Do you need help? I look up to see long, black, curly hair. My teacher, Livia, was checking in on me. Of course, I should just ask for help. Why didn't I just do that? Yeah, I can't think of what to write. I say, looking back down at my blank paper. Well, you chose a story, right? Livia asked, squatting to my height. Yeah, but it doesn't feel like enough. I pout, scribbling in the corner of my paper so as not to get in the way of my future writing. What is the story? My dad's car crashed a couple weeks ago, I say, rubbing my feet on the plasticky carpet. Oh. Well, can you describe what happened? Yeah. I was sitting in the back eating chocolate bunny crackers, and then the car shook a bunch, so I looked up and we had crashed with this other car, and then, me and my dad got out of the car and sat down on the sidewalk until my mom came to pick me up, and we met at this grocery store place I describe. Huh. Okay. Can you describe you eating your snacks? Maybe start there. Libia suggests. I was eating snacks in the back seat? Exactly. And then describe how that felt. What? Describe how you felt while eating your snack. It's pretty simple. Livia smiles at me, clearly a smile of misplaced sympathy, but I didn't notice. I don't remember. Do you remember how it felt when the car crashed? Shaky? Well, yes, but emotionally, how did it feel? I don't remember. I look away to the corner where there's two kids reading together on the patterned reading rug. You might be thinking, wow, this kid's forgetful. But I was just confused. Are you sure? It must have been scary, right? Livia continues to push for emotional substance, but just wasn't there. Didn't really have feelings about the car crash, so I couldn't remember anything about feelings. I had zero big feelings, but Livia thought differently. Well, maybe you're just too scared to remember it. Let's find another story, all right? She says. Let's go back to the brainstorming table. Huh? I say under my breath, but she's already grabbed my hand to lead me a step back to that empty table. Nobody was still brainstorming. That moment, I looked at Livia in a way I had never seen before. I knew we were fundamentally different in some way. I saw her as the example I was failing to achieve. I saw her sympathy and my apathy and thought, something's wrong with me. I'm supposed to be scared. I'm supposed to be sad. I should feel something, but I feel nothing. That's wrong. We eventually found a happier story, and I struggled with that too, but eventually I got there with a lot of guidance from Livia, which just felt like she was doing it for me. I had entirely disconnected with everything. Livia, the only person who I had thought got me, had never actually got me. I was alone.
There was a time when Mom was gardening in the backyard and a big new tree came out of nowhere.
The nutrients started to eat the plants and vegetables my mom grew. It looked cute, and its eyes sparkled while eating the sour leaf. Every time I looked through the door to my backyard to see the nutria, it would be there. Then one day, I found out that the nutria was becoming a mother because her belly got bigger. A few days later, I saw three baby nutrias in my backyard eating the vegetables my mom grew. The baby nutrias always stuck together, which reminded me of my two older sisters and I. I would also go outside in my backyard and listen to them munching on the sour leaf. Whenever I go to my backyard, I see the nutrias and hear them munching on the sour leaf like a bunny chewing its carrot. I'd even pull a piece of spearmint in my mom's garden and taste the cooling of the mint. In my background, I could smell the aroma of jasmine flowers and hear birds chirp when they come by. Unfortunately, the three baby nutrias' mother passed away, which was heartbreaking. But I'm so happy that the three nutrias stayed together.
I'm Ryan Jill for Communication Design Academy at Benson. The place that I want to talk about in my community is Bakersfield, California. The reason why I'm talking about this place is because I was born there. Here's a story about my place. California by My Angel Shaw. During the summer, the grass would shine so bright under the sun. I was blinded by how bright they were. It was like wheat, but unedible. I love the golden grass of California, the crisp air of pollution and burned wood. The aura of fire burns my nostrils and moistens my neck. The fire reminds me of screams and terrors from none other than the wood itself and living that are engulfed by it. I pass a dead village of dead trees whenever I travel home to my family in Bakersfield. I feel deeply saddened. I miss my people, my uncles, aunts and cousins. I miss the normalization of heavy weather. California, the land of golden grass. My home is surrounded by sand. It's an oasis, a dry and shriveled oasis. I remember the rivers filled with water that are now bare. The trees I used to chill in during lunchtime were cut down or burned. Nothing is truly the same as when I was 5 years younger. It's not as damp as in the previous years. No, I don't feel nice cold breezes anymore. And no, I don't hate the hot air. I am actually in love with it. I love to see coyotes at night and jumping kangaroo mice in the evening. They would gather together, those mice, the coyotes not so much. They would normally remind me of lone wolves with comrades. The tumbleweeds would make me laugh as they passed my vision. This town's not big enough for the two of us, I would patronize. They made me recall the SpongeBob movie my family watched together on a pirated CD. I used to watch SpongeBob continuously with my aunt on the floor. The coldest it's been is only frost in the morning. I would wear a puffer jacket in the winter because the weather was too cold for me at the time. I still haven't changed my mind. The winter is still cold. Oregon's weather is even more freezing. I can't possibly get used to it. Even 5 years have passed since I've moved. The cold is unnecessarily deadly to my warming heart. It's like blizzards to my body. The cold could cause my body to shiver uncontrollably. Back in California, the heat would only get higher throughout the day. The afternoons were the best part of it all. The sun blaze, the warmth activated what seemed to be sweat. But I never sweat like how the athletes did. They were sweating nothing but buckets. My angel, get out of the field, I've been patronized. My angel, promise me you won't get in our game. I've promised, but I have not kept. Afternoons in California were special. My skin boiled like mother's chicken noodle soup. Don't get me wrong, it was indeed terrible, But what's different about this weather is that I enjoyed it. No better weather than the heat. I remember always chilling under the patios for shade and coolness. My friends are waiting for the computer lab to open up for lunch. We all cry for winter to surface, but day by day it never welcomed itself. I miss the longing for rain. Oh, the rarity of the trickling symphony. I miss the excitement it gave me. There's nothing better than to sit inside a rainy day. Back in California, when it was the end of the day at elementary school, "Let's run," a mature voice called out to me. I could only giggle. I rushed into the car all soaked, wondering if I'll ever be dry again. Nowadays, nobody hovers under shelter anymore. I have evolved to never cover my head to the raindrops. I miss the peace rain gave me. I got it all too used to its wetness. California? It doesn't rain in California. No, it does. Not in the farthest parts of the Southeast. I recall only playing with the hose outside and Barbies indoors. It was likely both. Me and my sisters just swallowed up in our imaginations. Under the rain, it was murder week. The rain was most exciting to me. I wanted to see it pour nonstop. Oh, sitting down and watching Clue on Halloween after bagging a whole block of possibly expired candy. Last year, I only stayed home and had a small party outdoors. It wasn't all that exciting, just staying home, eating candy. We didn't even watch a movie. Oregon, it's one of those places where they have all types of weather. I wouldn't say it's predictable without a weather check. You can never know what it would be like the next day. I layered like cakes just to avoid the shivering in the winters. It's quite scary to approach my birthday. Oh, I had to layer like a penguin. It was petrifying when you couldn't see miles around you due to the fog. What's worse is the frostbite between your nails trying to catch your bus in the morning. It would take only 2 minutes for the sickness to overcome you. My family calls it sick season. I call it hell. Imagine being sick on your birthday. I wouldn't want to be. Oregon hasn't had its best first impression on me, but I still enjoy its peaceful scenery, its tourist attractions and cafes. Oregon, I now live in an entirely different state. It was a different culture compared to California. A variety of different mentalities are welcome to me. It is extremely cold in the winter, more extreme than the winters in my home state. Whenever I look around, I don't feel surrounded by mountains like the old valley. I can't drive 2 minutes just to see my family. I can't go next door to my family's house anymore. Things are different, but it's okay. I have accepted not having the opportunities that I was given before. The feeling of despair and absence reoccurred to me, reminding me that I wasn't born here like everyone else. I don't feel connected to Oregon like my friends do. Oh, I like my living. I love to try new things. I love the greenery. My mother became a plant mom. Life is good in Portland. People are odd here, not as odd as in the previous years. I think I just got used to it. Autumn is one of my favorite seasons in Oregon. I do like California Bakersfield, but it's time to let the past go.
It was the 4th of July at night, dim and only the starlight to guide us. We walked to the park, only a block away. The grass was light and dying. It was summer after all. The air smelled warm and humid when it flowed through my nostrils. There were soft sounds of crickets, the gentle breeze in my ear, and with many trees, the rustling only grew. When it was day, you could always hear several children playing in the park just off to the side of the grass. Yelling, screaming, crying, and laughing. So many different emotions going through my ear and out another, because my head was empty from the therapeutic place. But the hunted silence was even better. Accents of footsteps close by. It was me and my three brothers, me being the youngest. We planned to light some interesting fireworks in the large grass field. It was the perfect place. Ominous and spooky, but inviting and spacious. The first glint I saw in the dark was the spark from the long grill lighter. Seconds later, as we watched the small explosion, we had to run. There was so much space to run in every direction in the large park, but I stood in awe, young and naive, watching the fireworks pop. flashing lights in many different colors twinkled before my eyes. As they continued to dance in the sky, I heard the whistling and whooping of the fireballs chasing one another, until soon enough, they faded. I pass by the park all the time now. I don't go often, but when I see it, I have memories and know I'm home. I see the flashing lights in the dark again. I smell the warm and wet air. I hear the popping and sparking. I feel the soft grass and warm air, and I taste the exhilaration again every time.
Take all of your prayers and all of your cares. Take all of your good times and ones you can't bear. Take all of the hassle, all of the hustle, and roll it all up like one piece of the puzzle. Take all of your people and all of their dreams. Take all your laughs and the tears in between. Call to your maker, up to the sky. Throw it up high and meet me when the sun goes down.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more info, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart, KBOO Community Radio. Support KBOO online at kbOO.fm and X-Ray. Support X-Ray online at xray.fm. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to The Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. The Student Hour is produced by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. On air since 1923, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Thanks to our supporters, Portland Radio Project 99.1 FM KPRP LP Portland, your nonprofit community radio station online at prp.fm, and KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM and KBOO.fm, and X-Ray KXRY 107.1 FM and 91.1 FM online at xray.fm. And thanks to our listeners like you. This concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. That's kbps.am.